Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
I want to invite you to grab your copy of God's Word this morning and join me once again in the book of Ecclesiastes. We'll spend our time together this morning in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. As you're making your way there, I want to ask just a simple question that I want you to think about. What is the worst piece of advice someone has given you? Oh, isn't that fun to think about, right? Can I ask and maybe press a little bit and just say, could it have something to do with, you just ought to follow your heart? You ever had someone tell you that? I mean, you're trying to figure out the answer to this major decision in your life. You're trying to figure out what to do. What's the next step? How do you move forward? And the pat answer that you were given is, well, you know, just follow your heart. In fact, as I was preparing for this week, I started looking at quotes of famous people who said things very much like that. I mean, it was pretty much shocking to think that their advice was just forget what everyone else says and just follow your heart. I mean, after all, your heart should be able to tell you what to do, right? And yet you look at the scriptures and Jeremiah says that our hearts are desperately wicked. Isn't that encouraging? What's interesting is, as we'll see in our text this morning, Solomon, who was one of the wisest people that had ever lived, had everything that you could ever imagine, was king in Israel. Solomon had everything that his heart could desire. And in fact, as we'll see in our text this morning, Solomon basically took this mindset as he's trying to search, what is the meaning of life? How can I make myself happy in life? Solomon basically says, I'm just going to follow my heart. And let's see how that turns out. I want you to look at the text this morning, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Solomon writing says, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure, what use is it? I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine. My heart still guiding me with wisdom and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves, and I had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold, and the treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the children of man. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done, and the toil I expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after the wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun. Father, we ask this morning that as we unpack your word together, you would open our eyes that we would be able to see, that you would open our ears that we would be able to hear, and that you would open our hearts and our minds, that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit. And we ask that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. I told you as we embarked on this study of the book of Ecclesiastes, talking about finding the meaning of life. Can you find life's meaning in what life has to offer, or is there something more that we have to truly have meaning in life? Solomon has given us a bit of a glimpse early on in chapter 1 and basically said that apart from a relationship with God, life is pretty much meaningless. You may enjoy some momentary pleasures, but you're not going to experience life as it was intended to be lived out in its full apart from a relationship with the Lord. And Solomon began last week, as we saw, looking for meaning in life in wisdom. If I just know the right things, if I'm just wise in taking the knowledge that I gain and using it in such a way that I'm maximizing my meaning in life, is that enough? And we said last week that it's not enough. In fact, the wisdom that the world offers will always come up short of God's wisdom. And so Solomon looks and he says, well, maybe if wisdom is not enough, if my search for meaning can't be found in wisdom, maybe it can be found in self-indulgence. Maybe if I just look at life as a buffet and I say in my heart, whatever I want, I can get. Maybe if I get those things, I'll find the meaning of life. So Solomon says in his heart, I love this because Solomon's not going about this haphazardly. Solomon's not halfway committed. Solomon says, I said to my heart. You ever had that moment? Heart, I'm going to tell you what we're about to do. Maybe the dumbest thing in the world, but you are fixed. It is going to happen. It doesn't matter. You are set on doing whatever it is. That's what Solomon says. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. Solomon follows up. But behold, this also was vanity. In fact, Solomon tips his hat early on. Remember, he's writing this towards the end of his life. He had spent a period of time early in his life walking with the Lord. God had set him in control over Israel, and he had seen great prosperity. He had manufactured amazing things with God's help. And then he comes to a point in his life where he just says, I just don't know that I want to continue walking with the Lord. I'm going to see what the world's all about. And then as we get to the end of his life, he looks back and he reflects on the vain pursuits of trying to live a life separated from a relationship with the Lord. And Solomon tips his hat here and he says, listen, I told my heart, whatever you want, whatever makes you happy, whatever grabs your interest, if there's anything that you look at and you think, maybe I want that, heart, you can have it all. And yet, Solomon says, it was vanity. It's like chasing after the wind. Solomon says there was something about it that was just never fully satisfying. And he's going to detail out for us, and I want us to walk through that. But if you're taking notes this morning, here's the main idea I want us to walk away with today. Self-indulgence will never satisfy the deepest longings of our heart. Self-indulgence will never satisfy the deepest longings of our heart. The question is why? We've talked about this in the past couple of weeks, that God has made every single one of us with a God-shaped hole in our heart that can only be filled and only be fully filled by a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that will fill that spot in our hearts. And yet, there are many things in this world that seek to fill that spot in our heart. That's what Solomon's going to get at. He talked about wisdom in the previous message last week. This week, he's talking about self-indulgence. Here's the first truth I want you to see. We're going to walk through beginning in verse 1 and all the way down through verse 8. If we search for lasting fulfillment in temporary pleasures, we will never be satisfied. If we search for lasting fulfillment in temporary pleasures, we will never be satisfied. Solomon begins in verse 2 and he says, I said of laughter, it is mad. And of pleasure, what use is it? I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. Solomon says, I looked for fulfillment in laughter and food and drink. If you think about the philosophy, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Solomon says, I heard that and I thought, well, let's give it a shot. Let's just fill life with laughter. Let's fill life with food. Let's fill life with drink. And let's see if that will satisfy my heart. We look and we say, you know, that sounds a bit primitive for someone. I mean, you're just going to throw yourself into it. Let's just remind ourselves very quickly that we have multiple channels on our TV about food, don't we? You're like, I've never thought about that. In fact, we look and there's a lot of things wrapped up. We've got a comedy channel on TV. We've probably seen people that have just given themselves over and thought, if I could just eat the right stuff, if I could drink the right things, if I could just enjoy all that this life has to offer, then I will find lasting fulfillment. I will find meaning. And let's just look at it a little bit more. Maybe life's not what you thought it was going to be, and you say, well, I'm going to turn to food, or I'm going to turn to drink, and I'm going to numb myself from feeling the way that I feel. I'm just going to enjoy this, and I won't have to worry about anything else. And yet Solomon, in this pursuit, says it couldn't satisfy the deepest longings of my heart. Solomon says, it doesn't matter how much I eat, it doesn't matter how much I laugh, it doesn't matter how much I drink, it doesn't matter. None of those things will satisfy the deepest longings of our heart. He says, it's a square peg trying to be jammed into the round hole of my heart, and it doesn't fit. It's not enough. We have to ask the question, why? Why is it not enough to focus in on those things and say, certainly those will satisfy the deepest longings of my heart, but we've already said the only thing that will satisfy the deepest longing of our heart is a relationship with Jesus. It's the only thing that will ultimately satisfy the deepest longings of our heart. And maybe you're trying to fill that void that you sense in your life with laughter or food or drink. And you're wondering, Michael, why is it not working? Why is it not enough? Why is it not fully satisfying? Why is it not curbing the hunger that I feel in my soul? Solomon continues on and moves beyond just laughter and food and drink that he talked about in verses 2 and 3. And he goes in verses 4 and 6 and he talks about personal achievement. Solomon looks and he says, well, if laughter and if food and drink are not enough to satisfy what I'm feeling and longing for deep inside, maybe if I work hard enough and achieve the greatest level of success of any person on the planet, maybe that will ultimately satisfy. He says in verse 4, I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. Now, the funny thing is, Solomon didn't do any of this by his own physical labor. Solomon had conscripted thousands and thousands of people to work for him, had many times forced them to work for him. And Solomon looks and he says, well, I'm just going to build everything that I could imagine that if I had these things, life would be worth living. For us, we look and we're like, I mean, houses, I mean, yeah, maybe we like our houses. Maybe we could get a vacation house. That'd be a little better, right? What about a vacation house on the water or in the mountains? A little snow for the Florida heat reprieve, right? Maybe if I could have those things. And so Solomon says, I went about building those things. In fact, Solomon says, if I could dream it, I had people that were working for me that could build it. And so he began to build things. Began to look and say, well, I think I'd like to have a house over here. Well, what about over here? Well, I really like those trees, so let me grab those and plant those here. And I got to figure out a way to water the trees. So a little bit of ingenuity there and figure out how to put a pool in that would irrigate those trees. And Solomon looks, and it's interesting when you read through his life, because what's said about him is he built more than any other person up until that point in history. In fact, he probably got his mindset about building things from Egypt and the building of the pyramids, and he thought, I'm going to beat them. I'm going to top them. I'm going to build everything that I can imagine that could ever be built. And once I build those things, once I achieve that, then I will find lasting fulfillment. What are you trying to build today that you're searching for to provide you lasting fulfillment? You think, well, if I could just get this house built, if I could just get this building built. I've cautioned us, church, as we're thinking about moving down the road and building a facility, and I'm excited about it, you're excited about it, we are looking forward to that day, but I've reminded us that the building is not the end goal. Reaching people for Jesus is the end goal. And so if our hopes and dreams rest on a building, we'll be sorely disappointed in the end. But in our lives, what are we building? What are we investing our time and our effort and our energy in, thinking that if I can just get to here, if I can just get this next job, if I could just sell this much more, if I could just build my dream house, if I could just get my dream job, if my kids turn out decent, right? If I can just get them out of the house, then we'll find fulfillment. We'll find meaning, and we will be fully satisfied. And Solomon, who, if we were to attempt to build what he built, would look at us and say, "You can't even come close." And looking back at the end of his life, and he says, it didn't satisfy. It didn't satisfy the deepest longings of my heart. Those could only be satisfied in a relationship with Jesus. Would you notice verse 7 and the first part of verse 8? So Solomon has looked for lasting fulfillment in laughter and food and drink. He's looked for lasting fulfillment in personal achievement. But here he steps it up even more and he says, listen, maybe if I get enough wealth and enough possessions, maybe I'll find lasting fulfillment. It says in verse 7, I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. At this point in time, and if you look back early on in the life of our country, slaves were a status symbol. The more that you had, the more wealthy that you were. So Solomon says, I bought many male and female slaves and had slaves that were born in my house. He says, I also had great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. Again, Herds and flocks were things at this point in this culture were valuable. The more sheep, the more goats, the more livestock you had, the wealthier you were. And he says, I surpassed everyone. There was no one that had more than I had. He says in the first part of verse 8, I gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. Just imagine in your mind, Solomon had more wealth than we could have ever imagined possessing. And Solomon worked hard to gain it. And Solomon looked at the end of his life, and I can only think, reminiscing and saying, you know what? I had the largest bank account that anyone had ever had. I had more livestock than anyone had ever had. I had more slaves than anyone had ever had. I had more wealth and more possessions than anyone had. And yet, Solomon said it didn't fulfill the deepest longings of my heart. You know, as you look at gathering wealth and gathering possessions, let's just be honest with one another. Do you believe deep down within, if I could just get to this level, whatever this level is, then I'll be fully satisfied? What's interesting is when people reach that level, they think, well, you know, if I could just get to here, I would really be satisfied. And they get to there and they go, well, if I could just get a little bit more, then I'd be fully satisfied. A few months ago, was listening to on Audible, which they read books to you, which helps me not have to read, but listen, right? The name of the book is Shoe Dog by Phil Knight, the founder of Nike. And it was interesting because he was talking about just all that it took for him to get where he was. And then the last chapter, it was, for me, the most telling and most depressing point that I think I've ever gotten to in a book. And he talks about that when Nike stock went public, that he made billions of dollars on that. You think, billions. Like, once you get there, you're pretty satisfied, right? And he said, I walked into a room one day, and Bill Gates and Warren Buffett were there. And I realized I had a long way to go. Chasing after wealth and possessions, truthfully, if we're seeking our fulfillment in those things, we'll never be satisfied. We'll always need the next level. We'll always need the next thing. We'll always need a little bit more till we're satisfied. Why is that the case? Because wealth and possessions are never meant to satisfy the deepest longings of our heart. The only thing that can do that is relationship with Jesus. Solomon continues on and he's chased after laughter and food and drink. He's looked for fulfillment and personal achievement. He's tried to gather as much wealth and possessions as he could gather. What's next? I mean, what's left out there? Solomon continues on in the last part of verse 8, and he says, I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the children of man. Solomon says, listen, if none of those things will satisfy, maybe sensual pleasure will satisfy. Maybe the greatest music that could ever be generated, the greatest singers that have ever sung, maybe if I could have more women that are mine, I would be fully satisfied. And y'all, he didn't just like try this. He had 300 wives and 600 concubines. That's 900 if you're counting. I mean, he didn't go about this half-heartedly. But yet, in the end, he said, it still didn't satisfy the deepest longings of my heart. Looking back, Solomon says in verse 9, "So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me." It's interesting when you think about the fact that during this time, when Solomon says that his wisdom remained with him, Solomon's knowledge and ability to apply that knowledge in worldly standards was top of the class. He surpassed everyone. And he says, listen, I didn't go about these things in a dumb way. In fact, I went about this in a wise way. In fact, the way the world would say, if you could do it perfectly, Solomon says, I chased after these things perfectly. Verse 10, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. I think it's interesting when you think about what Solomon says in verse 10. Because here's the problem that we run into. Solomon doesn't say that in the moment, those things that he enjoyed were not enjoyable. In fact, Solomon says there was momentary joy in all of these things. There was momentary joy in food and drink and laughter. There was momentary joy in personal achievement. There was momentary joy in being able to gather wealth and possessions. There was momentary joy in sensual pleasures. There was a small measure of joy in those things. But then in verse 11, I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after the wind. There was nothing to be gained under the sun. I want you to write down the second truth. If we find lasting fulfillment in a relationship with Jesus, we will be able to enjoy temporary pleasures to the fullest. Here's the thing I don't want us to walk away today saying. Then we shouldn't enjoy life. Maybe tempted to push it that far. Maybe tempted to look at what Solomon says and to say, well, we just shouldn't enjoy life. I mean, the Christian life, it should be boring. Shouldn't have any fun, shouldn't smile, shouldn't laugh. Shouldn't enjoy the things that this world has in it. You shouldn't have a good time. You should just be dull. Ever met a dull Christian? Don't point. Not nice. And yet, here's the thing that if we truly understood, it would change our lives. Of all people, followers of Jesus who have found lasting fulfillment in Christ should enjoy life to the fullest. After all, what did Jesus say? He said he came to give us life and to give us more boring life. Is that what he said? Not what he said. Came to give us life and to give us life abundantly. Life with enjoyment, life to the fullest. And here's the thing, we can enjoy life to the fullest when we know for certain that our fulfillment comes in our relationship with Christ. Listen, Solomon here says, I experienced momentary pleasure in these things. I experienced a little bit of joy in these things, but it was ultimately fleeting. It didn't last. It didn't stay. And the reason is that Solomon had put the burden of lasting fulfillment on a temporary thing. But listen, if we put the burden of fulfillment in our relationship with Jesus Christ that will last for all eternity, then we can enjoy the temporary pleasures of life. If we allow Christ to be our center point, our anchor for our hearts, if we allow Him to fill us and to fulfill the longings of our soul, then we can enjoy the things that this life has to offer in proper perspective. So we look and we say, how do we enjoy those things that Solomon says here that he searched for meaning in? How do we enjoy them in proper perspective? How do we enjoy laughter and food and drink? How do we enjoy personal achievement? How do we enjoy wealth and possessions? How do we enjoy sensual pleasures? Here's the truth. God created all of those things for us to enjoy in proper perspective. God created everything, but He created in such a way that it was only a temporary joy. But He doesn't look at us and say, you shouldn't enjoy it. In fact, what did God say to Adam and Eve in the garden? Look around. Look at all the fruit on the trees in the garden. You can eat all of it. Except God said, there's one tree that you shouldn't eat of. Every enjoyment in life, God always puts some type of barrier so that we see how it's best utilized in our lives. So when we look at things like food and we look at things like drink, when we look at things like personal achievement, those things can be good things in proper perspective. Personal achievement, God has wired us to work. I want you to think about this. God didn't say to Adam and Eve in the garden, after you sin, you have to go to work now. In fact, God gave them work prior to them sinning. Meaning that work we were created to do even in perfect relationship with the Lord. Now, some of you are thinking, Michael, you didn't have to tell me that. I don't really like work a whole lot. But listen, we were created to work. We were created to achieve. But listen, that has to be kept in proper perspective. We were created to earn and to have possessions. But those things must be kept in proper perspective. I told you last week, we live in a culture that says, grab all you can all you grab, and sit on your can. That's the world we live in. And yet, God says, grab all you can and utilize it in such a way to build His kingdom and to enjoy life. We look and we realize that all of these things, within proper perspective, following God's guidelines, can be good things in our lives as long as Christ is the ultimate thing in our lives. Solomon chased everything. And in the end, he said, it will never sustain. It'll never fulfill the deepest longing of my heart. Why? Because I was created so that Jesus Christ would satisfy the deepest longings of my heart. I want to ask you to bow your heads with me this morning and close your eyes and invite our worship team to come back. Give you an opportunity this morning to respond to the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and the truth is you are looking for what's going to provide you lasting fulfillment. Maybe like Solomon, you've tried it all. You've sampled the buffet that life has to offer and you've enjoyed little moments of pleasure, and yet the truth is, you've realized that it can't satisfy. There's always that hunger, that longing for something more. Can I tell you this morning that you were created to have a relationship with your Creator? And that's made possible through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you will only find ultimate fulfillment in a relationship with Him. Maybe for you this morning, that's the step that you need to take. Maybe you are a follower of Jesus this morning. You've trusted Him for salvation, and yet, like all of us, there's certain things throughout life that we may look towards to give us fulfillment. Maybe it's your job, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's food or drink, maybe it's sensual pleasure. And yet the truth is, it's not providing satisfaction. It's not going to provide ultimate fulfillment in your life. And until Christ is ultimate and that's enjoyed according to His word and His standard, it'll always come up empty. Maybe this morning the step you need to take is to turn from seeking fulfillment in those things and remind yourself once again of the ultimate fulfillment that Christ provides in a relationship with Him. Maybe for you this morning, the step that you need to take is, as a believer, to enjoy life in proper perspective, valuing Christ above all things, but enjoying what God has created. Father, we ask this morning that as You continue to work in our hearts and our lives, we would be faithful to respond to You and to Your word today. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.